Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the August 9 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Chip Nillinger from Blue Reef Agri Marketing from Morton, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, listener-supported radio. Dial in your support right now at 217-244-9455 or visit us online at willag.org. Scroll down the page and look for the box that says Make a One-Time Gift right now.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Well, naturally, on our list of things to discuss today are the crop production and WASDE figures released by USDA earlier this morning. What else should we talk about, Jackie Vakes?
Well, I don't think if we get that far, I think it wouldn't hurt to talk about South America.
How about you, Chip Nillinger?
Well, I think where to go from here, there wasn't really much that was wildly bullish in this report, so we may be stuck in a range for a while. And that may not be the best thing for the producer right now.
And Kurt Kimmel?
Well, probably. Who's going to come out victorious on this Cub Cardinals series? I think that's probably the main event after the report's out. But Jackie, Chip, they pretty well summed it up. What do we do from here on out now that the numbers are out there, Todd?
All right. Let's start with you, Chip. Not where do we go, but your quick reaction to this morning's report and the most important things that you thought were posted by USDA.
Yeah, I thought, all in all, I was surprised by the action in beans. Pretty good performance in beans. I didn't think there was much bullish here other than the acreage cut, and that may have been kind of what the market was hanging on, but as you sift to the bottom line, especially on beans, you know, it is just hard to wrap my mind around a 425 million bushel carryout with the potential for another record crop coming out of Brazil. You know, we've got a problem here, almost four times higher bean carryout than we were looking at a year ago, and that, I think, may be something we have to deal with for a long, long time here as far as beans holding us back.
Are there any other ways that we could fix this problem, do you suppose, or is it just so overwhelming that we have to deal with it?
Well, I think obviously South America's got to raise a crop, so they're just planning. The USDA came out with 100 million metric ton projection out of Brazil, but they have to raise that first. So obviously any weather issues or hiccups in Brazil would go a long way towards giving us some support in beans. But beyond that, it's really going to be hard to kind of talk about going back north of $10 anytime soon in these beans, in my opinion.
Jackie, South America was on your list. Not only did the United States put down that there would be 100 million metric tons from Brazil today, but they also, CONAB also today, came up with the same mark. That's the largest number of production that they will have ever had. It's a big number, and it's, what, I think the ninth year in a row they will maybe plant more soybean acres than the previous year?
Yeah. Well, that's right, and I think the 100 million metric tons is based primarily on the idea that they're going to expand acres by 3 to 5%. And, you know, that's being driven by, if you look at, you know, I think a good way for people to be able to wrap their heads around what's happening down there is to look at the exchange rate. You know, back in 2012, they had an exchange rate of 1.7 real to the U.S., to every U.S. dollar. Now, you know, in other words, they get paid based on U.S. dollars, but they receive their payment in local currency. So, you know, if you looked at $9 beans, that meant that they were getting 15.30 in real. If we had had $9 beans back in 2012. Well, right now, if you had $9 beans, They're getting 38.25, and that would be the equivalent if you looked, if you rolled back again to 2012 and looked at that 1.7, that would be the equivalent of what they would have gotten if beans in U.S. dollars were at $22.50. So I think, you know, in addition to what Chip's talking about and just size basis, I think the thing we're up against, too, is that if we continue to see a depreciation in the real, which they expect it to go to about 450 to 1, every time we get a bounce on the board, there are going to be Brazilians who are going to be hedging beans. And so we'll have hedge pressure coming from them against us also. So I think it's just really, really important to understand why they're expanding more acres and that it's probably not going to change anytime soon.
What does this mean, Kurt Kimmel, for producers? They have been, I don't want to say rewarding the market, but they've been selling beans apparently across the scale pretty heavily. Is this the right thing to do, and should they continue to do it if they have beans that are still coming out of the field?
Well, we feel so. It's kind of money management, working capital management. Gives you the flexibility. Go ahead and take advantage of these prices, but retain ownership in case something does happen in the southern hemisphere. Even though the Brazilian crop's projected to be 100 million metric tons, like Chip said, we still got to raise it. But the Argentine crop's 57 million metric tons. So we're actually on the same projection as we were a year ago. So I wouldn't get real bearish on the 100 million metric ton Brazilian
idea. You mean
idea.
In total for South total, America?
Total South American production. But what this means, though, is we've got ample supplies of beans domestically and worldwide. So it's going to hinge on how fast Asia buys our beans here this fall and gets them shipped over into their country, for say. So it's going to be a logistics balance sheet in through here. But when you look at 425 million bushel carryout, that can drop over time, but there's just ample supplies indicating that it's going to take a weather event in the southern hemisphere to go much above this 9, 9.5 area.
Here's the thing, Kurt, that I've been thinking about, and I bet producers have been watching their local basis for both corn and soybeans. They have been strong right through the harvest period. This harkens back to the years when ethanol was in its growth area, and we just couldn't understand why the basis was staying strong. Now, of course, ethanol is plateaued. Why the devil would basis be staying so strong?
That's a good observation, and there's several things about that. One is end users weren't really covered, and they've been under the gun to get coverage on during the fall, and they've been chomping at the bit to take advantage of some lower prices. Last year, corn rallied 80, 85 cents, beans $1.50. They chased it all fall. So their bosses say get the stuff bought. Secondly is, farmer, even though he's kind of down and out, you know, he's willing to store some. And thirdly, too, if you're a grain merchandiser and you look at July futures out there in corn, you know, 4.5, 4.10, you know, a little bit of carry in the bean market, why don't I just kind of buy this from the producer here at a wide basis and hedge it and kind of sit on it and see what happens? So there's several factors out there that has kicked in through here to give us a little stronger basis than normal at this time of year.
All right. So I am watching at this point, different subject, by the way. The pledges come in, at least from the online service, and we're doing really well. I think I see, 36 in. So we're doing well, but we're not quite there. 217-244-9455. Thanks to Dave Dawson and Greg Schaefer. And the Davises, and hey, look, I see an Indris, and oh, there's a Gooding, and a Nellinger. Oh, I think I know that one down there, and who, Mr. Harms is there, Manhart is there. Thanks to all those folks who have given, but please continue to give, and if you do, we'll get in the back pocket of that guy you heard a bit earlier in this program, at least on the afternoon shows for the Closing Market Report, Mike Zuzulo. It's kind of important to do. Let's continue our conversation. Chip, oh, by the way, thanks so much for the pledge, Chip.
Oh, not a problem.
And I want to know from you, Chip, whether this basis strength gives you hope that the corn market, and I think it does for you, has opportunity. But when do you make the sale? Do you pull the trigger on short-term rallies, or do you wait for the long term?
Well, that's a great question. I think it depends on where you're at. Basis is so strong, particularly right around that Decatur, Illinois area, that it almost makes sense to make the sale now. It does, even with assuming additional basis strength out into late winter, early spring. Now, basis is so strong right now, it says either make the sale, and if you want ownership, buy calls or get long, or put it on a basis contract. And I think it was, alluded to earlier, part of this is just the farmers have been such a tight-fisted holder of corn and beans that commercials need to get their hands on some. So it's really kind of thrown everything for a loop as far as basis goes. It's not typical. It's not normal. And what I think that means is that down the road, there's still old crop corn that hasn't been cleaned up yet. We've got a fairly good-sized crop, according to the USDA, of corn this year that we're harvesting. I think I'm rewarding the basis strength now and not assuming that it's going to get a lot better as we go forward, because there's going to be a plenty of supply out there eventually.
Hey, I also saw some.
I agree.
Well, hang on, Jackie. I'm coming to you, Jackie, but I want to thank you too, because I know I saw one come in from you. I saw one come in from Bates. So everybody who's on the panel day is given. If you haven't given yet, you can join them, 217-244-9455. Okay, now you're up, Jackie.
Well, I was just going to say I agree with Chip. I think I'd reward the basis right now. And when I look at what came out today, six out of the eight states that are going to have a higher record yield this year on corn than they did last year come out of the West, and five out of the 12 bean states are going to have a higher record this year than last year, at least if it comes through what the October report said, are out of the West. And so, it's difficult to believe that they're going to be able to necessarily drive futures a lot higher, because basis is extremely wide in the West already. They're not going to try and slow down sales out there because of having to raise basis. And so, they're going to have to do something. So I think basis is the key. I think it's going to be the guy who's got to carry the heavy load this year and try and get the grain to come into the elevator. I'm not so sure that futures can do it.
I'm trying to think about what that means. I mean, other than everybody has to watch their own basis locally, but does it limit the upside because futures won't be driving the boat?
I think it limits the upside, potential, just by, and I think the upside potential is limited somewhat too, because if you do have a good basis, if we do get a bounce, you should expect to see some sales. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that that's going to be in our neck of the woods, but I do think that we'll see that, and then you get some hedge pressure coming in. But I just believe so much that guys have got to really grab on to this current basis situation. And, rather than sit in a situation where suddenly you start to find, especially if we're talking about Ohio guys and stuff, where they start to bring in grain out of South America, which we know they've done in the past and they can do. And we've had it in the past where they've also trucked in grain from, or railed in grain from other states that had abundant supplies. And so I think, we have to stay on top of the personal basis and make sure we're thinking about this isn't the way it is everywhere in the United States.
All right. So I have a different question, and I don't know, Chip, why don't you take this one up for me, which is I can understand why basis can lead the way for soybeans, even when we have a large supply here to some extent, because there's a large supply in someplace else on the planet, so we are not the leader in production. But far and away, we are the leader in production in corn across the whole of the planet, certainly in the export market. Why would corn basis be so strong?
Well, I think Jackie touched on a good point. I think part of this, too, is domestically to get the transportation, the spread between geographic areas, say Decatur, Illinois, and the Iowa-Minnesota border, wide enough so that grain does flow east. We saw that happen last year. Rail freight should be much more available this year than it was a year ago. And I think part of the function of the strong basis in the eastern Corn Belt, it's not like that in Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota. They've got large co-ops up there that basically are not taking any more beans until November at the earliest. They've got an issue. So that basis is going to get cheap enough, and it's going to be strong enough here that you're going to see beans and corn railed east, is my opinion. So I think that's Jackie may have hit on the function of the strong basis. That and farmers are pretty tight-fisted right now, and I think some of that has to do with, kind of a hope attitude right now. Well, in my opinion, this report kind of dashed a little bit of that because 168 bushel corn yield and a 47.2 bushel bean yield, it doesn't give us a lot of hope that we have to have a futures rally anytime soon.
Kurt, this is, I think, roughly speaking, the definition of arbitrage. So you take a deficit area and you try to move a commodity into it, which is in large supply someplace else. So I suppose that's what we're – is that really, in your opinion, what we're in the midst of?
Yeah, we believe so. Logistics, moving grain from the Western Belt to the Eastern Belt, it's probably profitable enough. You can take your minivan over there and fill it up, bring it up and cater. But, that's what some of the grain commercials set up a long, long time ago, railing this stuff here to the east. It maybe suggests that we're raising, too much corn or grain in the Dakotas.
Can I stop you all for a moment? Because right now you're making me think, if I live in this part of the world, I don't want to give up ownership.
Well, you probably need to still go ahead and do that and replace it so you don't give it up totally. But if you start moving this grain from the west to the east, there's not going to be that premium anymore. So that's the risk of overstaying your position.
Anybody else have a thought on that?
Well, Todd, you could do a basis contract and still have the upside potential of futures, but then you lock your basis in because if that grain does start moving, our basis will fall back.
Right. I'm with you, Chip, all the way.
What else should we talk about for the day? We have just a couple of minutes left. Anything on the outside markets that we should be concerned about? Jackie, I know you watch the dollar. There's always China to discuss as well.
No kidding. Yeah, China's been quite the interesting place, there's no question. I think just a tidbit that says to me that they definitely are having problems when it comes to the economy is that they have a company called Yum, Y-U-M, that actually owns KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut. And in the last quarter, they lost $7 billion in value of their company. And they said that they blame some of it on Pizza Hut prices being too high. But at the very same time, what was it that we saw in 2008 when we really headed toward recession? And that was people cut back on how much they ate fast food. And so if there's one more thing that just adds to the argument that China is truly having some issues, I think that's a good one because it comes directly from the people themselves. So it's going to be an uphill battle. My fear, there were quite a few people out this week talking about the fact that they felt that, China could actually pull the rest of the world back into a 2 to 3 year recession. And that's certainly something that we don't want to look at or think about, but it's a possibility.
All right. We're nearing the end of our time. How about each of you give me a final word? Kurt Kimmel, I'll start with you.
Well, one thing we need to keep in world events is Russia's involvement in Syria. I know there's a lot of bombs flying, aircraft on both sides, and last thing we need is something to happen there. Then just to add here, as far as the grain direction, I think the trend's going to be sideways here for a while, and you can take advantage of that on the ups and downs both.
So do the short-term rallies, is your opinion?
I think sell the rallies and buy the breaks. I think that we don't see a big up or a big down now until we get into this South American growing season.
Kurt Kimmel, of course, is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Chip Nellinger.
Yeah, I'd agree with Kurt. Definitely have to be in a sell-the-rally mentality. It's not a wildly bearish report today. It doesn't mean we can't have small rallies. But boy, anything up towards 9.25 on beans, I think you got to get super defensive. There's plenty of dollars to be had playing the basis game as well. That's going to be important. But don't get stuck in the mindset of, hey, let's hold out and hope the market bails us out, hope there's a weather problem in South America, because it could be a long 6 or 9 months ahead of us if that doesn't happen.
Chip, if they play the basis game, what are the risks?
Well, obviously the risk is if you lock basis in now, the basis gets better. But I'd rather it's kind of the, you know, bird in the hand type mentality. The other issue is if you don't do it just right, if you sell cash on the strong basis and don't have the re-ownership through your calls or you know, long on paper some way, the market goes higher, you kind of miss out that way. So there's multiple ways to mess that up, but there are some dollars there to be had, I think, going forward here playing the basis game.
No, I love it when there are multiple ways to mess something up. Jackie Vicks.
Don't we all understand that really, really well? Well, I'd like to, number one, make sure that everybody is safe during this harvest. We've certainly had enough issues over the years of people having problems. I think one of the other arguments you could have, you know, when you talked about re-ownership, Chip, as far as selling, you know, at some point in time here, we'll find where the bottom is. There's no question. And then I think having a re-ownership position to protect your crop insurance price is certainly not a bad thing to have in mind. And so I think that in general, today's report to me was like a DOA, dead on arrival. I mean, the everything was probably within the range, with the exception of the harvested acreage drop that we saw, and it's very disappointing to only see beans up a little over 4 when you lost 1.1 million harvested acres of beans. So it just goes to state how good the crop is that's out there in some parts of the world. And so just to go back, be safe. That's important.
All right, thank you all. I appreciate you being with me. That, of course, is Jackie Vick. She was the last one to speak there. She's from Stuart Peterson, from right here in Champaign County, joined by Kurt Kimmel as well from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing in Morton, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world. Thank you so much for all of those who have made a donation, a gift to Illinois Public Media over the past 4 or 5 days. You can still do that right now. We're really close to getting that 50, so keep doing it. Keep doing it. I can't see everybody who's given, so I'm pretty sure we've gotten there, but I'm not quite certain. 217-244-9455, even if you're listening over the weekend, if you happen to be listening online sometime, please do make a pledge of financial support. 217-244-9455. And thank you so much to all of those folks who have given already. And on this particular day, to Mike Zuzlow, Global Commodity Analytics. He says if 50 of you give, he'll put an extra $300 in our back pocket. Commodity Week, of course, you can find online at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.